conflict seems to be the order of the day, with conflict in Congress, in the Middle East, conflict in the digital arena, against nature, Japan battling COVID during the Olympics, and if you really want to stretch it, class warfare in space. Ed Blakely is a former Washington insider now living in Sydney, Australia. My name is Sean Britton from the radio station 2SER. Find us each and every week wherever you find good podcasts at US of Ed, and check out the latest from Pacific Conversations, our other podcast as well, the latest chat with Timothy Langley regarding the political situation in Japan around COVID and the Olympics, out now. Big week, lots to talk about, but first, we've been regularly updating the situation on Biden's key infrastructure deals. Republicans blocking debate on the allegedly bipartisan bill after Biden had warned them not to renege on their handshake deal. Ed, what's going on?
Well, this is the way I understand it. What the Democrats were looking for is 50 votes. And if they got 50 votes and the Republicans got 50 votes, clearly they can go to reconciliation. So they're saying, we drew our gun first. We're not going to shoot, putting it back in the holster. That's why the Speaker took his vote off the table and lost, because at 50-50, he only needed the Vice President and he'd win. But he wanted to lose just to show his strength. Had he not gotten 50 votes, well, then it'd been pitiful. So now the Republicans are saying, we can make a deal. We can straighten out a few things and we can make a deal. Why are the Republicans eager to make a deal at all? The reason is very simple. They cannot go into elections in 2 years and have the Democrats take all the praise for all the infrastructure work, for all the new jobs and the like. Sure, there's a little bit of inflation. That's to be anticipated once COVID is over. Prices are going up. The supply chains are really broken. People are raising their prices just to make up for lost time. I'd say that's 6 months to maybe even 12 months of a spike in inflation, and then it's going to go back to normal. But the most beautiful thing in the world is people are quitting their jobs in anticipation of this new bill. This infrastructure bill will have a lot of jobs in it, and they want to be ready for the good jobs.
One that I don't think we'd normally talk about, but it's been making a lot of headlines this week, over the last few weeks, really, is Elon Musk, Jeff Bezos, even Richard Branson taking private trips to space in kind of a billionaire dick measuring contest. I bring it up in this context because, well, look, Biden plans on increasing taxes on the rich, of which there is, of course, pushback. But for them to be pushing back, avoiding taxes, and then pulling these kind of stunts, it kind of takes the piss a little bit, doesn't it?
It sure does. I mean, think of this. These guys paid no taxes and they went flying out to the moon or wherever the hell they went and then thanked the people who paid for it. Whoa, boy, does that take a lot of guts.
Yeah.
See, the Republicans are holding on to a base of money, not a base of votes. And that money actually wants this infrastructure bill because they'll make more money. But these guys are pandering, you know, to the past. And they're pandering to their past leader. And I'm sure we're going to talk about that in a minute.
Well, I did want to talk first about a bill in Congress, this bipartisan bill looking to assert the power of Congress to oversee and vote on arms sales, emergencies, and military operations again. Something that people have had significant fear about over the Trump era, and it's kind of been in discussion. We've been talking about this a lot more since W. Bush. Any thoughts, Ed?
Well, I think this has momentum now from the Republicans, even. And so I think there's a good chance the American public would love it. They don't want to go into more wars. So now's the perfect time for this. And there are going to be more wars. Even this pandemic's going to spur some more wars because it's creating greater stress in South Africa and on the continent of Africa, in North Africa as well, in the Middle East. So there are going to be more little skirmishes, more little wars, and the United States will be sending drones.
While we're on this topic, look at the outlook in Afghanistan, you know, since withdrawal. Joint Chiefs of Staff Chairman General Mark Milley is saying the Taliban have strategic momentum and there is the possibility of a complete Taliban takeover. You know, we're seeing more attacks also by scattered ISIS militants in Iraq. What do you make of the situation, Ed?
Well, I think we're going back to the pre-Trump days when ISIS was strong and the Taliban is strong. Now, the Taliban and ISIS don't have much to do with one another. They do occupy some territory similarly in Pakistan. They are radicals but with different causes. I think they will win the day. I think we're going to be in strategic defeat. And the loss here, just like in Korea, just like in Vietnam, are going to be psychological, difficult, but not political.
Wanted to talk about a couple of battles in the sort of digital war zone as well. The ones we actually know about, at the very least. Firstly, Pegasus Project. Around 50,000 smartphones targeted by Israeli spyware. A list of those targeted containing hundreds of public officials, including 10 prime ministers, 3 presidents, and a king. Never mind that every country in the world kind of has its spies, Ed. This is Israel. This is the country of the Mossad. Are we supposed to be surprised by this?
I'm just surprised it got out. Hasn't anybody been going to the movies? Isn't that what happens in the movies? Come on. The Israelis have had this for some time. I think the problem is that this is spying on the good guys now. This is spying on reporters, political leaders, and so on, by people from the underworld and the like. So we crossed a very dangerous and difficult line with this, unfortunately. I rue the day, but you can be sure if the Israelis have this, everybody has it. We know our show's been tapped for many years, so nothing new.
China, in similar news, is being blamed for a Microsoft Exchange mail server hack back in January, accessing huge amounts of personal data and intellectual property. The US, Australia, New Zealand, Japan, Canada, and the UK pointing fingers at China and threatening sanctions. But China, naturally enough, denies the charges. What's the story, Ed?
Well, you just gave us the story. They're denying the charges. I think there's two levels of this. The Chinese have started these hacking companies that work for the government so they can have plausible deniability. Hacking companies are doing this work. They're doing it with the backdrop of the nation supporting them. Now, if some of these guys go rogue and start getting into the Chinese computers, or some of the Russians get into the Chinese computers, we'll see all out computer warfare. I said last week, I think that Biden's going to turn the switch pretty soon, and the US is going to start launching these kinds of spyware things. They may have borrowed them from the Israelis or whomever, but I think we're going to have spyware hacking from the United States into a lot of states around the world, and particularly in the Middle East.
Yeah, I think the story for me, the difficulty of these ones is actually when you point fingers at a nation like China, and China sort of brick walls you such as a well. I mean, when Russia oversteps into Georgia, you know Russia is there because you can see the Russian tanks. When something like this happens, the kind of deniability that goes on, I don't know if it's necessarily plausible, but it certainly is more difficult to prove.
It certainly is. But remember, the Chinese are a bit more blatant when it comes to the South China Sea. And they're right off the coast of Brisbane right now monitoring the U.S. and Australian military maneuvers.
Exactly.
No, the Chinese are in the game, and they're doing all the dirty tricks. There was a country called the United States of something or other that used to overthrow governments. I can't remember the name of the country.
Looking international, because we've got a few international stories this week, and obviously the big one is the 2021 Tokyo Olympics. Now, this has had kind of all kinds of restrictions applied to the Olympics itself. Obviously, there will be no crowds. You know, it's very tightly controlled, such as it were. But with it kicking off this week, COVID cases within Japan itself, obviously not looking to flash.
And there are now 84 COVID cases among the Olympic athletes. Like something over 100 among the Olympic athlete staff and coaches and media. So will these games happen? Yes, there'll probably be whole events that are canceled. These are going to be the games with the asterisks. I wouldn't even want to have the games 4 years from now. I believe they're in Paris. They're going to be crippled as well. This disease isn't going away fast. It's going to cripple an awful lot of things.
Rioting seems to be the order of the day in a few places at the moment. Haiti, Cuba, we talked about last week. You also, I think, might have mentioned South Africa. Ed, what's the latest?
Well, these places, they've calmed down a little bit. The U.S. is providing background troops in Haiti. In South Africa, I think the looting was a thing that was sparking this, and they've looted almost everything. So rioting more means you're just rioting, jumping up and down because there's no enemy there to strike and there are no goods to get. And it means you're not going to have anything to eat. So I'm not sure Soweto, which is the largest, maybe black city in all of Africa, or one of the largest in the world, I wonder if there's any rioting there. That would be a cause of considerable disconcert. I think what's happening, most of the whites and affluent blacks live in these gated communities that are highly guarded and the like, and those people are just locked in, but they're locked in from COVID anyway. How they're going to get food, who knows? But these are difficult situations. The thing in Cuba that surprises me, Cuba actually has a vaccine that has been tested at least to the second stage, maybe it hasn't got third stage. But I would anticipate the Cubans are going to roll that vaccine out. And the United States is with it, has a surfeit of vaccine. U.S. has a lot of vaccine, and there's a lot of AstraZeneca that we could send from Australia to Cuba. So I think Cuba can get that situation under control. Remember, all of Cuba is about as large as metropolitan Sydney, the entire island. So I think they can get the AstraZeneca or whatever they're going to get rolled out. They have a lot of doctors or people who have medical qualifications, but the food supplies and the rest are a much bigger problem. So, and the fact that there is not a Castro leading the place means the military is somewhat fractured. So people are looking for some place else to hang their hat. And if you did a vote in Cuba, they'd join the United States. And if that vote were taken, I'd let them join Florida.
Some natural disasters as well. Germany was experiencing some very heavy flooding this week, saw some dramatic vision and images coming from that. I saw some crazy flooding in Arizona, but I think that one's fairly limited in scope. But there's news coming through this morning of dozens killed in China's Henan province. It's dramatic stuff, Ed.
It's climate change. In case you haven't heard about that term.
Yeah.
It means things are happening in seasons they shouldn't happen at all. In a summer season, you should not have floods. These are northern hemisphere places. The rain that's happening shouldn't happen. In Germany, this rain in one day was as much rain as they had in something like 10 years in a single day. It is remarkable. And maybe in China, it's as bad. The Chinese situation is worsened by the fact that they put in all these dams. And if they overflow or if they weaken, millions of people could get killed.
And still abroad, but kind of bringing things back to the States, the UK has continued to see huge numbers of COVID cases, although they are now free of mask and gathering restrictions following the so-called Freedom Day. I say bringing this back to the States, though, because we've seen this, we've seen much higher vaccination rates, obviously, in the UK and the USA than here in Australia. But amongst those unvaccinated, COVID is absolutely surging. The number of overall cases no longer as dramatic in terms of just sheer numbers. But amongst those refusing the jab, the numbers are actually exploding. Any thoughts?
Well, there are two thoughts here. Let's turn to Great Britain, where they have, I think, about 80% of the people who have had both jabs at this point. And Israel. Israel is 90-some percent. People who've had two jabs are getting COVID, and apparently they may spread COVID, but they're getting a headache, runny nose. Those people who've had only one shot or no shots are going to the hospital much faster than they did before. Remember, there are a lot of people who just stayed at home with the first version of COVID and survived it. But this stuff is so strong and so virile that you're not going to stay at home. And even if you get the hospital, you might not survive. I don't know anything about the pathology of this, but it is super dangerous. In the United States, which is a prime example, the death rate is going up like crazy, particularly in the South, where people have refused to take the vaccinations. Now, this may be good news for Democrats, because the Black Democrats are getting their shots. And the Republicans, if they were smart, they'd stop all this voting suppression and start voting opening so they can get some of their white folks to vote and they get them to get their shots. But there's some sort of deep stupidity here that I just cannot fathom, because these are their friends and neighbors dying, not their enemy dying. But as we've said, Shin Shu has said, do not stop the enemy while he is doing dumb things.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like I've seen this week a dramatic upswing in sort of Republican politicians and right-wing commentators urging people to get the jab. I mean, I think given the upswing I sort of mentioned, they're sort of starting to fear they've actually killed off a lot of their base with all these kind of conspiracy theories and fostering conspiracy theories.
It's hard to turn it off.
And
I think they're in for a deep, deep downer here. And places like Tennessee, where they're denying people the vaccine, is really dangerous and maybe very costly. But on both coasts, they're getting up to around 80% vaccinated. The problem in Los Angeles is the number of people who are aliens, unregistered, and they don't want to go near a clinic or a doctor. So COVID has gotten into them. The people who have the vaccine now have to be wearing masks, because these are the same people that cut their gardens, that do all kinds of things for them, that they're drivers and so on. So I think there's going to have to be some kind of program, and it'd be very simple to do, to say undocumented workers, here's some people who will do this for you. You don't have to give us your name, your address, or anything. We speak Spanish. We will give you the jab. They're afraid to do that for fear it'll bring more people across the border.
And just before I let you go, Ed, it's another week, another person associated with the Trump administration arrested. Tom Barrack.
Is this news?
It hardly seems to register anymore. Tom Barrack is a not a well-known face of the administration, but a close aide and advisor to Trump, charged with illegal foreign lobbying on behalf of the United Arab Emirates. Anything to add on this one?
Look, five members of the cabinet were referred to the Justice Department for possible prosecution. If Barr weren't there, they'd be headed for jail. This, can you sue an ex-president for running a criminal scheme while in the White House? And his business on the outside, we're part of this criminal scheme. This is something out of a very bad movie. It can't be real. And we have on top of this, the Republicans not wanting to participate and the January 6th commission, when they're the ones that suggested the commission. What level of insanity are we dealing with?
We do seem to live in extraordinary times when it comes to these ones.
So we have a podcast on the Olympics in Japan. That Japan has a lot more catastrophes going on inside than just the Olympic Games.
That's exactly right, Ed, mate. Timothy Langley, chat with Timothy Langley out this week regarding a great deal of the vaccination rates and the political situation. I believe they've got the election coming up in September, so that's out now. Thanks very much, mate. We'll obviously catch that one and catch you next week.
I'll catch you next week. You know where to find me.
Ed and I will be back next week to talk all the latest in US news and politics. Subscribe wherever you find the podcast and check us out on Facebook and Twitter at US of Ed. And Ed and I's other podcast mentioned there is Pacific Conversations. Find that wherever you find good podcasts as well, or check out the website edtalks.com.au.